Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Let me say it's a pleasure to be with you today. It's a pleasure to just to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't say that lightly. Some of you, you've been serving God a long time. And the beautiful thing about serving Christ is that it gets better every day. My first church in Florida, down in Tampa, a daughter of a retired preacher said to me one day, she said, "I get tired of hearing those same old Sunday school stories." And I've never forgot it. I don't mean to say this derogatorily towards her. Never forgot that, because with me, and I'm sure with most men, it gets better and better and better and better every day. I appreciate this church, appreciate what this church has done, been very proud of this church, proud of your staff, your leadership. Youth pastor doing a great job. I don't even know how many people you guys have on staff now, but you guys do a great job with the music, the youth. I've heard about what's going on there. And so I don't have direct knowledge anymore, but you've got a great staff. I'll say this quickly about Roger Cash. He is one of the, and I say this behind this sacred pulpit, so I can't lie. And I can't stretch the truth, but I think he's one of the most respected ministers that we have in our whole divine movement. I really believe that. Of course, Ronnie and his wife, we've known them. They've been in our home. They've been to our church many, many times. You have a great pastor. You have a great staff, great congregation. And guess what? You serve a great big God. So all that goes together. All of that goes together. I was reading the newspaper the other day, and I usually do all my life, read two or three papers every day. And one of my favorite one of my favorite cartoons is Dennis the Menace. And I hadn't collected one since I've retired, and saw this one. Dennis is sitting in church with his father beside him, and there's a stranger sitting on the other side of Dennis. So he's sitting in between two people. Dennis has his hanky out, you know, and it's been flu season and all that stuff, and he has his handkerchief out, and he looks to his daddy, and he said, "I just wiped my nose on his sleeve because you told me not to wipe it on mine." Now, can you imagine that? Here's Dennis, but because of the teaching of his dad, he wipes his nose on the person. But please don't do that today. If you're here, please, please don't do that today. I would like to speak to you this morning from the Gospel of St. Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark. If you will open your Bibles to chapter 5. I may not follow the outline exactly today, so don't worry about that part, but we will do our best with that. Mark chapter 5. I want to pick up. Mark 5 is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And in this chapter, there are many great events. So we're going to jump right in the middle of one of these events, and we're going to talk about a lady who had been sick for many, many years. Hemorrhaged for over 12 years, and we men cannot relate to that. But she never gave up. She never quit. And much about serving God is about persevering. It's not the one that runs the fastest, not the one that gets to first base first, but we've got to make it all the way home. And that's the destiny for God. I do think, let me say this while you're turning to Matthew 5 or Mark 5:25. I do think that sometimes we forget, though, that we do not live in this world. We are here, but we don't live in this world. And a lot of people act like, I'm going to live here forever. Hey, nothing personal, but I hope you don't live here forever. And we often see where we are now, but we do not see the big picture of the plan of God and the beginnings of the creation of man to the final wrap up of God's time with man. We focus on the life we live here on this earth. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing totally, but that's not the full picture. And I think many times we have trouble with Scripture because we see it for right now and we forget the big picture. It's like a tree in the forest. It's one thing to see the trees that make up the forest, but we must see the forest. And that's certainly true when it comes to the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, not only that, but had spent all that she had, but was nothing bettered, according to the King James. And after spending all of that money, all of that time, all of that suffering, all of that pain, all of those disappointments, all of those times of getting hope up and having hope crushed, the end of that verse says, but she was nothing better and even grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind the crowd, gathered in the back of the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, I love this verse, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, one of the key words of the Gospel of Mark, the fountain of her blood, the hemorrhaging, dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. That word in the original is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. He felt power go out of him. And it went out of him into her. He turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. In other words, all that had happened. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Today, the title of this message, and it's a pastoral message, and I hope it will minister to you, is that it doesn't matter what you're going through. And twice I've heard references this morning to whatever you've gone through this week. I don't know what you've gone through. You don't know what I've gone through. None of us know what the other has gone through. But I can guarantee you we've gone through some stuff. But it doesn't matter what you're going through. Learning from this woman, what matters is, who are we going to? Not what we're going through, but who are we going to? all of us go through stuff. You always will. Till the day you die, you'll go through stuff. But it's not what you're going through. What matters is who are you going to? Let me do a disclaimer for a moment to say that to a degree I can relate to this lady or any of you that have had a long-term battle with some infirmity. My pancreas has not worked since childhood. And so therefore, because of that, I have been for many, 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 many years a brittle diabetic. Being in ministry, I know the limitations that sometimes that can put on that. So I know what, I may not know your specific infirmity, but I can relate those of you that have an illness or fighting something in your body. And I tried to scan the congregation. You're a pretty mixed crowd age-wise, looks like, with exception of Brother Cash. But most of you are middle-aged and down, looks like, a few exceptions. You know what it's like to battle and fight and struggle. And this is really encouraging news. If you haven't had something to battle in your body, hang on, you will. Isn't that encouraging news and a good way to begin a message? But I also know not only what it's like to have to deal with something day by day. And I don't say that, say, oh, poor pastor, poor preacher. I just say I can relate because I've been there and done that. But even I think what's more troubling to us that are believers is that we believe in divine healing. We do not doubt the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not doubt that by his stripes we are healed. We know that our faith, we can touch him in faith, and we know that we can be made whole, and that's wonderful. But when you're going through something and it's been a while, seems like we have Job's comforters on every hand. Well, if you hadn't sinned, Job, this wouldn't have happened to you. I want to declare something. Let me do it right now. Many of you that have an infirmity, it's not because of sin. It could be sometimes, and it has been sometimes, but I believe most of the time it is not because of sin. We live in a sin-scarred world, yes. There are results of the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, yes. We live in an earth that's scarred. That's why God said, hey, look, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, that's not the end of the story. He sent his son Christ to the cross to undo what Adam had done. He became the second Adam, and therefore now he's made an eternity for us. So in this world, you will have some infirmities. But what's bad is when the Christians most of the time put guilt on you. I'll never forget my first church in Jacksonville, Florida. About 40 years ago, of course, I started when I was 42, so I've been preaching 40, so you can put those two numbers together and come close to my age. You don't know me well enough, but anyway. I was reading the book of Job, the book of Genesis, moved by the life of Abraham. And because of that, being young, being full of zest, being absent of wisdom, I said, I'm going to trust God for total healing. Been healed of many things, but this one thing I've not been healed of. And I said, I'm going to trust God. So I decided I'm going to cease taking insulin, which gives the body has to have to for energy and for health. So I went off my insulin for, I think it was about a week or so. My mouth became so dry I could barely swallow. In a week's time, I'd lost almost 15 pounds of weight. And not only that, but when your blood sugar goes high, you go to the restroom a lot. And I was telling a member of the church there that I went back on medication. And he looked at me with sincerity in his eyes, and I'll never forget that moment. And he said, "You just didn't have faith." And you see, not only sometimes do we have people around us that remind us and put us under guilt, but then we have our adversary, Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, who will accuse you. You're no good. You have no faith. You'll never count for God. You can never do anything for God. And he'll tell you this and that, make you feel like you're worthless, and make you feel like you ought to just give up and go back. That's the job of the accuser. And he'll jump on you with everything that he has. But I'm saying to you today, you still look him in the face and you tell him, "Devil, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror, and I'm going to get through this with the help of God." And we can do that. But our problem in this world is we lack instant gratification. We don't want to wait till we get the new body. We want the new body now. We want it now. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. And that becomes difficult. We have drive-through windows. I went through a drive-through McDonald's, unfortunately, this morning to get something to munch on. We go to drive-through tellers at banks. When we go through the grocery store, we try to find the quickest line. They now have self-helps and all of those things. We get caught in a traffic jam, and we fuss at people for not moving on. We like microwave ovens. We want it here. We want it now. We like car washes that clean them for us. We almost went in rebellion when we found out we have to now pump our own gas because we were used to other people pumping their own gas and all of those things. We want it now. We want it quickly. And on top of that, us preachers are faced with congregations that want 20-minute sermons. Give it to me. Give it to me now and hurry and get it over with. The Bible has much to say about faith. Jesus in this story turned around and saw this woman. And he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The Bible says in the book of Matthew, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And Jesus says in Mark 9, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them." We read the gospel story, and it almost gives us a false impression. I love the book of Mark because it's a book of action. 41 times the Greek word ethous, the word we get, which King James translates as straightway. Straightway, he does something. 41 times he did something quickly. He did something immediately. But oft times, I say this as a caution, when you read the Gospels, if you're not grounded in the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, when you read the Gospels, when you get sick, you ought to automatically be whole. If you're not, something's wrong with you. But that's not the true, total story of the entire Word of God, to the best of my ability to understand Scripture. Let me ask you some questions. Then we get into our text. Does everyone, you answer these under your breath. Don't say them out loud, the answers. I want to ask you 12 questions. Number one, isn't it frustrating to believe in healing and not be healed all the time? Come on now. It drives me nutty. Drives me up a wall. I want it now. But we don't always get it now. Second question, does everyone get healed all the time? Not in life, and not in scriptures. Question number three, does every healing happen immediately? Miracles are instant, but but healing is gradual. And the answer to that is no also. Good question. Practical. But these are just for you to think about and mull them over. I'm not trying to convince you one thing or another. But these are things we wrestle with. Is it a lack of faith to use medicine? The answer is no. The answer is no. Yet there will be people that will tell you, you can't be a dynamic, powerful Christian if you use medication. People that generally tell you that aren't using any at the time. Hang around. The answer to that is no. Will healing occur if it's God's will for you to die? And the answer to that is no. You've got to go home some way. We can go in the rapture or we can die. One of the two of those. I choose the rapture. But if not the rapture, you're going to die. Most people die after having some infirmity that they've been battling with for a long time. A good question. Is sickness always caused by sin? The answer to that is no. Another good practical question. Will there be some believers who will not get well in this life? And the answer to that is yes. You see, we read Hebrews 11. I know our text is from Mark 5. We read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. We get motivated in chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, and on through that chapter. But when we get to about verses 34 and 35, we quit reading. Because after talking about the hall of faith, the hall of fame, then the Bible talks about some who lost their heads, stoned, burned alive. They were believers. They were the hall of fame, the hall of faith. But they lost in this world. Let me ask you another question. Which is more important to God, your health or your holiness? When you got saved, that was important to Christ. I hope this statement sounds okay. But you know, my opinion now, and you can let it go in one ear and right out the other, is that God is not near as concerned about your healing. He is concerned. Don't miss, you got to stay with me on this. But I don't think personally that God is near as concerned about your healing physically as he is your healing spiritually. See, for God, it's not right now, it's forever. He's preparing us for the kingdom that is to come. And that kingdom is going to come. I think God hates sin far more than he hates sickness. It was sin that took him to the cross. It was not sickness that took, although he took care of that as well. There is healing for the sick body in the blood of Christ. Yes, yes, yes. But it was mainly that sin could be eradicated from our life. Does God, here's a debatable question. Does God always want us well? I'm not going to tell you that my answer to that one. Last question. Did Christ die to make us healthy? You can think about that. The book of Proverbs is an important passage. I've never preached from it. You see, in this world, we have hope. But Paul says in one of his writings in the New Testament, one of his epistles, he says, if in this world all we have is hope, we are above all men despised. What he's saying is, if I can interpret that, this is what I think he means, is in this world, if all you're looking for is your answer here, you're missing the big picture. And I say that again. Because Christ, again, is more concerned about where you're going than where you are. But in Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you believe in something, when you want something, when you need something, and you hope for it, but when you don't get it, or you don't get it right when you want it. You know, I've been serving God a long time. I've never found God to be early. I've never found God to be in a hurry. But I can say this about God. God is always on time. His time, our time may be different times, but God is never in a hurry to answer any prayer that you or I have. How many of you have ever said to God, God, come on now. Wake up, God. Come on now. The woman with the issue of blood, she'd heard somehow the story about Christ. She said, I'm going to go to him. I've gone to the doctors. Imagine 12 years of bleeding, hemorrhaging. She couldn't weigh probably over 50, 60 pounds. But all of these years, she'd tried everything she could. She knew the ritual of the teaching of some of the scribes and some of the religious people. But none of them could help her. So she did what most of us do. We go to a doctor. And there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with medicine. It's God who made medicine with healing properties within them that you may be better. Because God does want you to feel better, but it's not important to him. He wants it, but it's not high priority. What's high priority to God is, are you walking with God? Are you surrendering to God? Are you walking in holiness? Are you walking in purity of heart? You see, the woman knew, if I can but find him and touch him, I shall be made whole. After all of these years and all of her money, you ever go to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor and bless their heart, thank God for them. I have many friends that are doctors, but they can only do so much for so many people, but they have limitations, and we've got to be careful ourselves. But she finally said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get as close to him as I possibly can. It was against the ritual and the law of the time to touch a man, to approach a man, to be before a man in public, just as it is today in the Middle East. But she said, hey, I'm getting worse every day. I've tried everything I know, but nothing's working. I'm going to go to one that I've heard can make a difference in my life. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she finally one day made up her mind. And the Bible says she pressed her way through the crowd. But here again, that talks about patience and persistence and hanging on. And it's not the one that runs the fastest, as I said earlier. It's the one who will finish this race. We didn't start this to go back, as the song said a while ago. And those were good songs that we sang. But friend, we got to hang on and hold on. Healing may come today, but it may not come till tomorrow. But I guarantee you, one day healing is going to come. Whether it's in this life or the next, I do not know, but what I do know is he is still the healer, and we can put our trust in him. She said, if I can but get close to him, I don't have to touch his flesh. I don't have to touch his skin. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. And back then, the priestly robes and some of the clothing had four areas on them, four tassels that represented the fact that whoever wore that tassel was one of the chosen ones of God, God's covenanted people. And she said, listen, I may not be a covenant person, but I'm going to touch one who is. I'm going to touch one of the chosen ones. I'm going to touch that hem of his garment, because she said, I know if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she reached out and touched him. She felt something that she hadn't felt forever and forever. And Jesus felt something go from him. You know, when you minister and you preach, or you know, you give out. You give out. You give out. That's what Jesus did. He gave out. He gave out virtue. He gave out anointing. He gave out his power. He gave out his presence. And this woman reached out in faith and grabbed that hem. And immediately the Bible said she felt virtue coming into her. She felt the power of God come into her. And she felt that for the first time, the blood quit flowing and the blood quit running. And she began to have instant strength. You talk about a makeover. That was a makeover, but with him he made it all right for her, and she was healed immediately. You see, you've gone through a lot in your healing struggles. We all have. And I say to you again, it's not what you're going through, it's who you're going to. Brother Cash mentioned a while ago, we can't look to the government for our answers to the problems in this world. We can't look to doctors for everything that we need in this world, because it's not going to come through them. We've got to look to Christ and believe Christ that he can make us whole. It is not what we're going through. It is who we're going to. I remind you again, this world is not our home. Sometimes you will feel overcome, but the Bible says you're an overcomer, and you can overcome. The Bible says and describes time when it's hard to be upbeat, but it's hard to be upbeat when you're also beat up. When you have things poured on you and poured on you, you fight and you struggle and you battle. When I first went in the ministry, I don't mind saying this, but I struggled with why could I not win the battle with the pancreas I have. Fought that for several years. You have to learn to deal, to realize that there will be people around you that will not encourage you. If anything, they will discourage you. Do you think Christ was encouraged when his disciples left him? Do you think Christ was encouraged when some denied him? But what did he do? He went ahead and went to the cross. And even on the cross, he said, Father, if it be thy will, if there's any way possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But if not, Lord, thy will be done. And he surrendered to the will of God. And here's this broken woman with a broken body. She's all messed up. She's just about at the end of everything. But she knows this, that Christ is still the answer. Listen, we were doing a healing service, a foot washing service at our church, and we'd had a teaching on healing for a few weeks, and one of the foot washing services, I don't know if y'all do them here or not, but anyway, one of the foot washing services, there was somebody that had a huge goiter on his foot, and it was one of the ugliest sights I've ever seen in all of my life, and then we were all washing each other's feet, and all of a sudden I heard somebody begin to yell and scream and rejoiced and all, and that man, I went back over to him and I saw it. I knew what that foot looked like before, and I knew what that foot looked like afterward. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that goiter was washed right off his foot. He was made whole, just as like he was as a newborn baby, received fresh healing for his body. You see, it's not what you're going through, it's what you're going to. I want to go to Christ. I want to be covered by Christ. And if you haven't received your healing totally yet, maybe God looks at it and says, well, maybe it's not required yet. Maybe you got enough spiritual maturity to know you're going to walk and you're going to press and you're going to keep on and you're going to keep on and you're not going to quit. You're not going to turn around. You're not going to give up. You're not going to throw up your hands. You're going to hang in there. If you'll do that, friend, I'm telling you, you got a reward coming for you one day. I was at one time in a crusade with Catherine Kuhlman years ago, and there was a man that was blind. He was sitting beside me. I tried to talk with him earlier, and you know, and there was no movement of the eyes whatsoever. But during that healing service, Catherine Kuhlman said something about there's somebody here today being healed of eyesight problems. And this man said, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. And he stood up and he said, I can see, I can see, I can see healed by the power of God Almighty. You see, that man had gone through a lot, and sometimes you'll go through it. Yes, if you can't go through it, you might as well get out of the kitchen, because there's going to be struggles and battles and fights down here, and you got to be a soldier of God. Not only a son of God, but a soldier of God. You got to put your armor on. You got to fight. You got to persevere. Will it be easy? No, 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 no. It'll never be easy. But I tell you what, you got on your side. You got one who is greater than you and one who is greater than the enemy. And if God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter what the world may say or what the world may do. If you have God on your side, you're going to be all right. And praise God for that. Also, at that same Catherine Kuhlman crusade, I was out in the hallway. I saw a man strapped to a chair, literally from neck all the way down to his feet, strapped to a chair. He had to be rolled into the service. And they were rolling him into the service, and there was a spirit of healing begin to flow. And you know, God's presence and power is still available to us. Please don't mishear me here today. There is healing available still today. But some of you, you're not going to get it every time, all the time, whenever you want it. You got to wait and hang on and show God, God, I'm going to walk in holiness. I believe your blood is pure. I believe your blood is powerful. I believe your blood is just what I need for today. And he's looking to you to see how much spiritual fortitude you've got. Hallelujah, you don't give up and you don't quit. This man began to scream that was strapped. Man, he looked like somebody that was in prison, and he tried to get out of jail, but he was in prison and he was in jail. It was just in his wheelchair, but he began to scream, and I didn't know what in the world. He was making movements all over his body, which had been so fragmented that he couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. But he said, he began to yell and say, hallelujah, something is happening. And I saw with my own eyes, they unbuckled the straps from neck to foot to toe. They unbuckled the straps. He got up literally and began to walk under the power of an almighty God. Don't tell me God cannot heal. Don't tell me there's not power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Hallelujah. It's not what you're going through. It's who are you going to. I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to go to Jesus. Do I do it as I should all the time? No. Partner, I mess up a lot. But God also knows our heart. My heart is to know him better every day. It's not what we're going through. It's what we're going, who we're going to. He wants you to come to him. He's got his arms open. He cares. Oh, he cares about you. Would you stand with me, please? God is the healer. God is our strength. You've had setbacks, so has this woman. Come back from every setback and keep going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going to him. Here's what I'd like to do this morning, if you will work with me for a moment. Sure wasn't a 20-minute sermon, was it? Guess what? The next one probably won't be either. I'd like to ask as many of you that would you come down to the altar in this area? I'd like to ask everyone to come, and while you're coming, there's two interests, two concerns this morning I have for you. First concern, and I have no idea here to say 8:30 service. There could be some here in this early service I know we had some at Inverness from time to time. The most important thing here today is not how much wealth you have, but neither is it how much health do you have. The most important thing is here today is, do you have Christ living in your heart and you're forgiven of sin? Because if you do, then you're part of the kingdom of God. And His promise to you is after this world, this life, you're going to be made whole. Never sweat. Never get tired. Never wake up feeling terrible. His promise to you is you will work and not be tired. You will never be sick. He's going to take away all pain, suffering, sorrow, crying. All tears will be wiped from your eyes. I have to say right there, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. But He went to the cross so that you might be part of the kingdom of God. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. And boy, does He have a reward waiting for you. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Let me do it this way. Let me reverse what I want to do. But I'll go in the back door to get to the front door. Those of you that are down here at the altar, if you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know Jesus Christ personally, He lives in your heart. You have been forgiven of sins. You are walking with Christ. If you can say that, you know that. Would you mind lifting your hand as a testimony up unto God? And devil, I wish you could take a look around. I wish you could see. To the best of my knowledge, I don't see anyone down here that doesn't have their hand raised. Look at that, devil. Thank you. Oh, that makes Jesus so happy. That makes Jesus so happy. So we're saying we are all saved, redeemed, washed in the blood. Now the next question, last question. There probably are several people here that you need something from God physically today. Could be emotionally. Could even be financially, because God does care about your finances as well as your health. He cares about them. You may need healing. Maybe it's a healing that you've struggled with for a long time. The devil and his cohorts have jumped on your back because they want to tread on you. You fight with that. Every time you go to take medicine, many times we Christians, we feel bad that we have to resort to medicine. Christ wants to touch you physically here this morning. He wants to touch you physically. Here's what I want you to do. Time's getting away from us. We've got Sunday school coming up. I want you to just simply say something like this. You can put it in your own words, but I want you to make an altar to God. I want you to say, God, I do believe in healing. I believe in the blood that was shed on Calvary. And the Lord, and God, today, I need a physical touch. I need a touch for my body. If it's more towards a better job, God cares about that as well. But you need to tell Him what you need. Is it a relationship issue with a mate, with a child, grandchild, family? Whatever it is, God cares about it. And He wants to heal you. So I want you, if you will, to just say, Lord, I'm coming like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm coming to You. You know where I've been. You know what I've been through. But Lord, this morning I'm coming back. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. And I'm going to try to move around here and pray for several of you as much as possible this morning. But I need you to just stay in communion with God, okay? Don't worry about us. Don't worry about anything going on. You just get in touch with God, okay? Focus on Him. He died on the cross of Calvary. He wants you to know that He loves you. He cares for you. He believes in you. He's going to make a way for you. But you just need to sit in His lap and love on Him. Will you do that while we pray for... I tell you what, let's pray for each other just for a moment. Say, Father, touch my brother. Father, touch my sister. Touch the one beside me. Touch the one in front of me. Touch the one behind me. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Now that you prayed for them, nothing wrong with praying for yourself, Lord. I know what this woman's been dealing with. And Lord, I'm coming to you today. And I'm going to believe, okay? Let's commit it to Him this morning, right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, you pray, and I'm going to come around and pray for you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.